Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by generous contributors like you. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions.
What we say and how we listen to others is important to God.
Sister Joyce Johnson shares a powerful message which she titles, Trying to Change God Through My Communications with Him and Others. And she expounds on the importance of being a good listener.
Throughout the Bible, there are writings about listening rather than speaking. Failure to listen is a pitfall in communicating.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as the under-shepherd of our flock, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. Join us at 9 a.m. for Sunday school, followed at 10 a.m. with morning worship service. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verses 15 down through 21. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have the pleasure of introducing today's speaker. First of all, she is a born-again believer and has been a baptized believer for 69 years. She started playing piano at her home church in Meridian, Mississippi at the tender age of 8 and has not stopped giving her best to the master. Currently, she is one of the keyboard players on staff here at St. Paul. She is a testament that the love for excellence in church music requires constant practice of the craft and the exercise of the God-given talent. She is married to her childhood sweetheart, and she is the proud mother and grandmother of a successful daughter and grandson. After graduation from college, God blessed her to work in many professional positions. One of those positions was Sacramento County Clerk Recorder. Her name is on all birth certificates, marriage license, death certificates, property titles, divorce papers, or any court filings between the years of 1983 and 1990 in Sacramento County. Her proudest achievement was convincing her mother that she knew what she was doing when she gave her hand to the preacher and her heart to God's care. Let's give a warm, warm welcome to our very own Joyce Russell Johnson.
Good morning. Pastor Williams, my pastor. I don't know about yours, but he's mine. Okay. Members of the clergy, deacons, officers, St. Paul members, and some of us call ourselves St. Paulers, to St. Paulers and friends. I have witnessed over the years for myself. Not something that my Aunt B told me. I've witnessed for myself the hand of God in Pastor Williams' actions. Therefore, when he called and said, I want you to discuss this certain topic, my immediate answer was, yes. And then I said, Lord, help me. This time, the topic that he gave me was trying to change God through our communication with him and others. Trying to change God through my communications with him and others. And I use the word my because it's personal to me. I know who I am. I struggled with organizing my thoughts for this morning. But again, I go back to the belief that Pastor Williams is truly called by God. And if the Holy Spirit led him to reach out to me, there are words that I must apply to this paper and let come through my mouth this morning because of that leading that the pastor has. I'm not a preacher. I don't even want to pretend to be a preacher. So you're not getting a sermon this morning because that's not who I am. And I don't. Pastor Williams knows that's not what I pretend to be. He told me I could hoop if I wanted to, but I'm not hooping. Okay. But the Holy Spirit works through each of us who are called by his name. Now, there are several styles of communication that the academic community has labeled. These styles within each of us are developed over a long period of time and over long patterns of conversations and interactions with others. I want you to listen to these man-made labels and see which one best fits you. Keep that one in your mind as I go further on and speak. Remember, pick out the one that best fits you. Am I a passive communicator? This style avoids directly saying what he or she wants or feels. Am I an aggressive communicator? You see this style in people who want to win at the expense of others. They bully. They name call, they demand, and we know somebody who does that regularly. And they intimidate. Am I an aggressive communicator? The aggressive communicator is direct, clear, factual, but not judgmental, and employs the formula of results and feelings. Results and feelings. Now I'm going to apply that one to me, and I'm a result-oriented person. I have a problem with feelings. Okay. Am I a submissive communicator? This style is apologetic, indecisive, yielding, blaming others for things that have happened, refusing to take responsibility. The manipulative communicator carries behavior that is cunning, controlling, asking indirectly, and we've seen a lot of people use artificial tears, trying to make others feel sorry for them. And then a combination of two of those, the passive-aggressive communicator. This person uses sarcasm, and we've seen a lot of them, and the silent treatment. They're devious, sulky, gossips, and most of the time, two-faced. So as I go through my prepared speech, I'd like for you to keep considering the type of communication style that you use. Again, the styles are passive, aggressive, assertive, submissive, manipulative, and the combined passive-aggressive. Most of what I'm going to talk about today comes out of the book of Proverbs. I won't quote every scripture, but if you read Proverbs, you'll find me. In dealing with communication with others, we find comfort in the words of Ecclesiastes 7, 21 and 22. The seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes deals with thoughts of life. And these particular verses tell us don't pay attention to everything that's said. Don't desire to know what is said because it will stir up your emotions, or feed your pride. See that you are approved by God and your own conscience. Think about the things that you have said that have offended others. Consider which filter in listening is best to use. Ask yourself who, why, what, how is this information beneficial to me and to others? It is a pitfall when we seek to know what others say about us. What they say, what they say, what they say? Oh no, that's a pitfall. And it can stir up emotions or cause unwarranted pride. We are taught many subjects during our formal education. Emphasis is placed on reading, writing, spelling, history, mathematics, but not a lot of time is given to the skill of listening. Pastor mentioned it, listening several times this morning, listening. And I think Sister Alice did too in her remarks, listening. In the first chapter of the book of James, the writer tells us to be quick to listen, but slow to speak, and slow to anger. This speech is hitting me all over the head, trust me. I'm wondering if Pastor wasn't picking at me, telling me to write this. Okay, because I fall into some of these pitfalls, as we all do, from time to time. But as Christians, we have to do better. What we say and how we listen to others is important to God. There's a pitfall in rushing to speak. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The book of Proverbs states that our words can preserve or destroy life. So we must accept the consequences of our word. The tongue is a powerful weapon for good and evil. Matthew tells us that on the day of judgment, everyone will give an account of every useless word spoken. And I'm saying, oh my Lord. I'm losing the only sister that I have to dementia. My communication with this once brilliant mind takes a level of understanding that pulls at my heartstring when I go to see her, and I will be going to see her right after church. She doesn't understand why she's currently in UCD or why her body hurts, but she knows that she needs help. We comfort her with the assurance that she is not alone and never will be alone. This is the sister whose tongue was deadly. My sister could strike at your very heartstring if she decided to. And until dementia hit her, she was still doing it, okay? But this is the same sister that I remember who bought me my first leather dress. Louise was teaching when I was still in high school. And I think back on that leather dress that I strutted in, and I think about Louise's tongue. This is the same sister who, when I wanted to play an organ solo, not a piano solo, I wanted to play an organ solo, and my legs were not long enough to reach the pedals. Louise got down on her knees in her stockings and played the pedals for me while I played the organ. So by God's grace, yes. I don't focus on that deadly tongue. I employ the filter of loving understanding. Throughout the Bible, there are writings about listening rather than speaking. A few examples of this is speaking with words pleasing to God, speaking with grace, God placing a guard at the mouth. Lord, deliver me from not understanding and wanting to show how smart I am. Help my tone to be a tone that smiles. Failure to listen is a pitfall in communicating. And there are a couple of parents, I don't know if they're here today or not, that I want to congratulate Noah's parents. They listened to Noah when he said, 4 years old, I want to join church. Okay? That's an important thing to them, an important thing to that child that that child will carry for the rest of his life. And we at St. Paul rejoice with them in listening. There are communication traps also to consider. Responding harshly. Guilty. I don't like foolishness. That's who I am. But that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us to respond with gentle answers that will not immediately stir up anger. The assertive communicator always considers results and feelings. Now, I'm going to make this a little personal, and I'm going to talk about these folks behind me in the choir stand. They have a tendency in rehearsal to want to socialize while I'm sitting here struggling trying to teach them parts. And when I get back to them, they've forgotten what I taught them. That's annoying to me. But God placed that in my path so that I could grow. And he also placed Gloria Hester in my path to help me grow. Gloria Hester said, you know, it seems like we run out here and learn a song and run right home. I had to stop and think about that. This group may have a need to say hello to each other at rehearsal. I don't know that. So I've learned to smile and say, lighten up, Joyce. Remember that the assertive communicator considers results, and I just wanted results. And they also considers feelings. Thank you for your lesson. Then there's Matthew 27:34-37, which says that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, is that true of me? This can be a trap for the manipulative communicator. They sound needy, mealy mouth, but they are cunning. And we have to constantly pray that the Lord will put that filter in our head of asking who, what, why, how is this beneficial? The filter is important. The third trap, not listening or a lack of understanding. Sometimes we want to get our own point across so badly, we don't listen to the other person. And that person may have a valid point. That's something as Christians we must not do. Must not do. Other than when I'm teaching the Golden Course, I do listen. But that's with them, a little different. Proverbs 18:2 states, and I quote, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. That's from King James Version. Now, from the Good News Version, puts it this way. A fool does not care whether he understands a thing or not. All he wants to do is show how smart he is. You know, and I'm not going there. I'm not going to be that person. And I hope that we all stop and consider, when I'm asking you for something, is it beneficial? Who is it beneficial to? Do we need to look at the needs of this congregation and see where it fits in before I open my mouth and show you I'm more intelligent than you are? Number 4, failure to restrain the mouth demonstrates a lack of wisdom. I don't want anybody to know I'm not wise. So I have learned to restrain my mouth in a lot of situations. Fire goes out without fuel. Gossip causes quarrels to remain at the forefront of communication. Again, all of these are coming out of Proverbs. That's Proverbs 16th chapter. The false witness spreads discord wherever he or she goes. We all fall into that trap on occasion. Man, I want to tell you this, you know. I wanted you to know this. And I want to listen to what you're going to tell me to. We've got to use the filter. Use the filter. Is this beneficial to this body of Christ? And if it's not, after we've told that, we need to respond in kind. You know, that's not going to help us. Not going to help us at all. Unless you can tell me some kind of way that this is going to help in this body. We can stop gossips. We can stop them dead in their tracks. We talked about communication pitfalls and traps. Now let us turn to that agent who is directly between earth and heaven. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not merely an influence in the life of Christians. And I want to restate that. The Holy Spirit is not merely an influence in the life of Christians. The Holy Spirit is love. Love resides in the heart of mankind. The heart is the seat of affection. With the heart, we love or we dislike people and things. Without a heart, comfort is impossible. Paul was a skilled strategist in conveying information, truth, and guidance. The Apostle Paul, the great communicator, and his co-laborers were going around these churches that had been established, and they were delivering rules and directions on how those churches should conduct themselves, how the members should conduct themselves. And I can imagine Paul with a zeal for the word. Paul was on a mission that he wanted to get done. But in Acts 16, the Holy Spirit said, nope, stop. You will not go into those cities. And there were some cities in Asia that Paul was not permitted to go into. I can imagine me now, the Holy Spirit, if I'm Paul. Now, I don't understand why you want me to do that. I need to go over here and tell these folks. Give them this message. And you know I'm trying to do your work. Why you want to stop me from doing it? I'm glad that I can communicate with my Heavenly Father the way that I am, because he knows my heart. I can't do that with people, but the Lord knows my heart. And Paul does not even stop his stride. Keeps right on walking past those towns. And like I said, Paul was a fervent, fervent preacher. Globe-trotting preacher who wanted to spread the word. Acts 16 does not tell us why the Holy Spirit stopped Paul. It just said that he did. Paul obeyed until he had a vision about Macedonia. Now, getting back to listening, Paul listened to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit advises us, just like he advised Paul. God's standard for us is Jesus. God intends for Christians to set the standard for the world. James 1:22. I learned a song, I think about Noah, because I joined church at 5. And I had to argue with my mama and convince her that I knew what I was doing. My grandmother was fine, my daddy was fine, but my mother was a school teacher, logical, okay, it's not logical that Joyce knows what she's doing. I convinced her that I knew what I was doing. And that's been many, many, 69 years ago. Okay? But that song that we learned as children, out of James 1:22, comes a call for juniors true, who will live for Christ the risen Lord. Listen to the trumpet call, ringing out to one and all, be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, be ye doers of the word. Song has never left me. And I hope that the songs that we're teaching our children now will go with them throughout a lifetime. We are to be examples in all things. And as I keep saying throughout, I'm imperfect. And I think Pastor called on me to do this because he knows I'm imperfect. Just like Paul's example, that globe-trodden preacher stopped when the Holy Spirit said, do not enter these cities. Throughout the epistles, there are rules, directions covering private and the social life of Christians. As we believe, so must we behave. Thank God for his grace. I keep saying I'm imperfect. I thank him for his grace. And I thank you for your grace. God's grace is mentioned almost 200 times in the Bible. God's grace allows us to communicate with him on our level. And I was saying a few minutes ago, God knows me. He knows my heart. And he knows when I communicate with him, yes, Lord, I'm going to question this decision. You know that's me. But ultimately, I will do your will. We are led and should be led to a point of showing grace in our communication with others. I'm going to repeat that. We are led toward a point of showing grace in our communication with others. I'm an assertive communicator. I look for results. I don't always think about the feelings. I have to knock myself over the head about the feelings. That's where that grace comes in, showing grace to others, because other people have needs just like I do. And as we grow in grace, the growth of corruption is blocked. By corruption, I mean those communication traps and pitfalls that were discussed earlier, seeking after gossip, falling into speaking too quickly, failing to actively listen, seeking to demonstrate your intelligence, responding harshly, not restraining the mouth, bearing false witness, lying on folks, and failure to seek an understanding. Put a pen in understanding, please. Corrupt, manipulative, misguided types of speech are blocked by the Holy Spirit when we apply the filter of understanding. My brother, am I really listening to you? Am I trying to understand what you're saying to me? There was a song in the song there were the words, God blocked it. Well, God can block communication that causes any level of discomfort in the body of Christ. Each one of the communication styles, be it passive, aggressive, assertive, submissive, or manipulative, can create discomfort. And that is not what we want in the body of Christ. Now, I want to thank Brother Weaver. I don't know where he's sitting, but he made sure I got a Sunday school book, and the book that I have is one that I treasure. In today's Sunday school lesson, in the area where is the teacher's point of preparing to teach the lesson. There's a section entitled, Endurance is Rewarded. In this section, the writer states that the word reached the Apostle Paul that the church at Thessalonica was being persecuted. But they grew stronger in their confidence and in their faith. They loved one another even more. Jesus does not give up on us. Thank God he's not giving up on me. As we are sometimes battered by the communication of others, let us continue to love above and in spite of the language. In the Sunday school class this morning, Sister Jerusha reminded us that the church building is a hospital, and we need to treat people with kindness and understanding. I don't know where Sister Jerusha is sitting, but that comes right out of her teachings this morning. And please put a pin in it. Treat people with kindness and with understanding. When I was downtown being a bureaucrat, that was a different thing. And sometimes I want to bring those bureaucratic things in here because they work. They don't belong here. Do not belong in St. Paul. Thank you. Dr. Frederick G. Sampson of Detroit, Michigan, who is now deceased, was a renowned speaker among Baptist preachers. Dr. Sampson had a special way of describing God's grace and goodness. Thank you. And I want to quote and paraphrase him now. Getting to the end, Pastor told me 35 minutes and I had a little light stroke, but I think I'm getting there. Okay. He said, suffering, in our words, calls people to suffer. My suffering is heightened by my faith. You hurt me, but my faith is heightened. My faith encourages my confidence. So the next time I approach you, I'm going to try a little harder and hope that you will open to me and understand what it is that I'm saying. My confidence nurtures my hope and endurance. I surely hope that you're going to listen. I'll try saying it a different way. Maybe then your understanding will come in. My hope and endurance transcends my suffering when I remember that redemption and salvation came through God's grace and power. I really want to understand your need. And I want you to understand what I'm trying to convey to you. Listen through the filters of understanding and wisdom. And as I close, effective communication is communication between two or more, where the intended information is delivered, received, and understood. Delivered, received, and understood. If you're saying something to me and I don't understand it, I have an obligation to ask you to say it again. You have an obligation to try to say it again a little differently to help me to understand it. Our words should be respectful and uplifting, whether talking to God or to people. Now, it's hooping time, Pastor, so I'm going to let you do that. Let your listening be filtered through the thought that everyone in the world is better at something than I am. Meaning that everyone in the world has something to contribute and should be listened to with the filter of love, the filter of love, and the filter of understanding. As Christians, we must live Christ.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His praises. If you're here today, will you come to Christ? Will you come today? Will you come today? Oh, oh, will you come today? Say yes to Him. He's speaking to your heart. Will you come today? Oh, will you come today? Because will you come today? He loves you. Want to share Himself with you. Will you just come and say yes to Him? Because now let's take it to another height. Oh, how? And we love Him because will you come today? Will you say yes to Him? Because there's a lady to my left, almost to the back. You want to come and you want to walk down before all of these people. Let me share with you, all of us at one time were lost. And we had to walk out Don't be afraid. Just get up and come. Spirit will walk with you. Spirit would walk with you if you would just get up. Will you obey him today? Will you come today? One to my left, will you say yes? Just come today. Thank you very much. Sister Alice is going to share with us this morning for a few moments. And Sister Alice, I want to congratulate you again. You're always open to do what you're asked to do. I know you must be born and raised in Sacramento, not Stockton. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you. With reverence to God, to Pastor William, to the pulpit, to all my brothers and sisters, I'd like to say good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, and I was raised in Stockton. Down the road. Moved up here to Sacramento when my oldest daughter, after she came to Sac State, my husband and I moved up here. If you could bow your heads for a word of prayer, please. Dear Father in heaven, we just praise you, Lord, and thank you for this opportunity to speak. I pray, dear Lord, that something will be said this morning that might benefit each person present and that they might decide they would like to give their hand to you. Bless each person and the families they represent. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Okay. I am here this morning to speak to you briefly on the subject of Christian women working together in the service of the Lord. I'd like to ask you to do me a favor. You don't have to get up. You don't have to say anything. You do have to do something, though. Okay? I'd like you to, first of all, before you do that, I want you to look to the right as far as you can to the right. And just observe if you see more men than women or more women than men. So if you look to the right as far as you can, and then if you would turn and look to the left as far as you can, and just observe. Now I have a question to ask the audience. Did you see more men than women? Nope. You saw more women than men?
Yes.
Okay, could you raise your hand if you saw more women than men? Oh, my goodness. Okay. So what does that tell us? There's more women present, and that's usually the case in all churches, generally speaking. More women than men in all the churches. And more girls. That would be considered the women, right? Okay. So I'd like to address the women in particular, but the men, I want you to listen because it does apply to you. All of us have a job to do, whether you're a Christian yet or not, particularly if you've accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. We have a job to do, and our job is to win others to him. And as many of us as there are, we could do a lot of work, right? We really could. Okay, so when my daughters were younger, at our church, my former church, we didn't have a nursery there. As our kids were growing up, they would just sit in our laps, and we had like a diaper bag, and when they'd get, antsy, we'd pull out some treats, give them a treat or give them something to drink to keep them quiet. But as the church grew and the families grew, we needed a nursery. So a group of ladies and I decided we were going to start a nursery. So we talked to the pastor, got his permission, and we started a nursery. And the nursery went really good. At first, there was quite a few people, maybe starting off not too many, but it grew. But the deal was if little Johnny or little Susie came to the nursery, the parents had to participate.
once a month, you had to participate. And we did this during 11 o'clock service. So if you had a son or daughter in the nursery, you're welcome to bring him or her for three Sundays. But one of us, not the fourth Sunday, it didn't have to be necessarily the fourth Sunday, but one Sunday of the month, you had to participate. Now, if the parent did not participate, guess what happened? Little Johnny or little Susie didn't participate either. Yeah, they had to participate. And this went on real good. But of course, some of your cousins don't get the drift, and we had to let some people go. We had to dismiss little Johnny or little Susie if the parents didn't come. But it worked out really well. Excuse me. Another thing we did at our church, we decided to do a jail ministry. And the jail ministry for the women's jail, since we were all women. And we got permission from our pastor. We also went to the sheriff's department and got permission from the sheriff's department that we could come out. Of course, we had to get fingerprinted and the whole nine yards. Now, some of the women that were interested in the jail ministry didn't really want to go through all those changes. So everybody didn't visit the jail, but those of us that did, we went every Friday. And we started out with just a few women, but as time went on, it grew. And we would have Bible study every Friday. We even purchased Bibles for all the participants in the ministry. And we also had a birthday party once a month. So if your birthday was March, sometime in March, we had a birthday party. We would bring ice cream and cake. And of course, that went over really well. We didn't get to go back into the jail per se, but they would come out into the dining hall or whatever. But it really worked out well. A lot of the women wanted counseling and they wanted to participate. Kick-out time, in other words, if they did good and served their time, kick-out time was Friday afternoons. Our time to visit was Friday mornings from like 10 to 11:30. On this one occasion, I'll never forget, one of the ladies that was an active participant in our Bible study, she was so excited when she came to class that Friday morning. She said, oh, I'm getting out today. 1 o'clock, she was so happy. I'm getting out today. And so we were happy for her. Well, when we came back next Friday, guess what? She was back. She had gotten out that Friday afternoon, and between Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, she had acted up, done something, and she was back. And she was saying, you know, I learned my lesson, Miss Williams, she said. I learned my lesson. They're not going to catch me next time. And you know, the Bible says there are people that lie up on their beds at night thinking of ways to do evil and not get caught. And so she said she wasn't coming back next time, but that's generally what happens. And then another thing our group did, we decided to make lap robes. A lap rope is just a little quilt, but it's small enough to go across a person's legs if they're incapacitated, if they're in the hospital, their home. And we made these lap robes, and whenever we would visit a person, that very first visit, if they were in the hospital or home, we would take them a lap robe. This is an old one, so it's kind of faded. Turn it over. It's kind of faded. But we would make this a lap robe to give to that person, and they really appreciated it. But it also was a part of our ministry because we had to make these. And each one of the ladies that participated, even if they didn't go visit the person, they would participate in making a lap robe. It took time and effort, but we loved it. Now, all of us didn't agree on everything we did as far as our group went. And that's what happens so often in the church. Oh, thank you, baby. A lot of times, people or women will start in an adventure, start a job, start a work, and there's disagreements. Now, you know all of us will never disagree on anything there is. We'll never all agree. But the way we do as Christians, and we're serving for the Lord, we have to realize we're working for the Lord. We're not working for ourselves. And as a group, we need to come together, right? Now, some of you out there are good at thinking up good ideas. Some of you are good at putting the ideas together. And then others are good at organizing the event. But all of us can have a part, right? And that's what's needed. In our churches, in our missionary work, we need everybody to participate. Some people are quiet. They really want to stay behind the scenes, you know, and which is fine. Others are more vocal, but we all can work together, and that's what the Lord is asking us to do. So as a mission evangelism appeal, I'm asking all of the women, whether you're members or not, whether you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior yet or not, we're asking all of you to say to yourself, I need to give back to the Lord. You know, he's giving to us every day. We need to say, you know, thank you, Lord, for what you've done, and I want to give back. Not that you have to spend a lot of money, because as, you know, as time goes on, you don't have the money that maybe you once did, but you have time and you have effort. God is waiting for us to do our part, right? I believe that as a member of St. Paul especially, there's too many missionary ministries here and others that have not even been developed yet that you can be a part of. Everybody should be a part of a ministry. All of us, men and women, boys and girls, all of us should be a part of something. We need to show the Lord that we appreciate what he's doing for us and we're giving back to him. All right. I thank you for your time, and I just pray that as we grow in Christ, we one day get to heaven, the Lord will say to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Aren't you looking forward to that? Well, he's not going to say that to you if you haven't done anything, right? Not that you can't go to heaven just for sitting there. You can't. But he's not going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, if you haven't done anything. Right? Right? I remember working a lot of jobs. There'll be a bonus at the end of the term, whatever. If you haven't done anything, you don't get a bonus, right? Don't be looking for a bonus because you're not getting one, right? Right? But I'm just saying, so as a Christian, I'm looking forward to the Lord telling me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I've done all that I can do. And as you get older, I'm older now. When we were doing all these things and going to the jail and all that, I was a younger woman. I had a family, kids, a husband, whatever, worked every day, but I still found the time to do for the Lord. And all of us know if it's something we really want to do, we're going to make the time to do that. I don't care what it is, really. We're going to make the time. So I made the time to do that. But as you get older, you can't do as much. You know, we can't get around maybe as much or whatever. But we can still pray and help in other ways. And so I'm asking all the women, especially, but the men also, to do your part for the Lord so you will hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Okay. Thank you.